All right, 405 on DGS. Dave is out for the day. Back tomorrow. The rest of the crew here. Mike Elam is here to hang out with us. Is it going to be kind of a normal spot for you?
I love that idea. Well,
I mean, hanging out here and there.
Until Andrew started telling me something about, I got to tell the difference of what's it like to being bit by fire ants and bullet ants. I'm like,
what's
wait,
the worst thing you ever been bit by?
My sister.
Mm. Fair enough.
Hopefully a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago.
Like, it was last week.
Parents were gone. We were fighting. She was supposed to be watching me. She's 6.5 years older. And we got into it. She bit me and I punched her in the mouth. And she had braces and it was really
bad. Yeah, I say that's not a good result. Don't bite, though.
No. But I was like,
even as a kid, that's next level. Like, even that is no good.
No. It was really bad. But I think I was like 7, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, how old is your sister? Is she older than you?
She's 13. Yeah, she's 6.5 years older.
Okay, so yeah, you were really in the right.
Oh, I was flying for my life,
sister,
man.
That bit you?
Yes.
Damn.
Like, okay.
I was thinking, like, you know, maybe you're both 6 or 7 or whatever.
No, I had grabbed her and she bit down on the arm.
All right. So. Mm. Dang.
I probably had it coming. Let's be honest.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I think most of us, when we get in that position, we've earned some level of that.
She paid me back years later, though, by slamming my finger in a car when we were going to a 4th of July picnic, and almost the entire end of my middle finger came off.
So, can't lose that one.
No. That's the one that gets the most work. What are you kidding me? Come on. You're number one.
I mean, you do some political work. That's an important thing.
Normally, that's coming at me. Not,
that's no. true. That's a
Normally,
good point.
Normally, it's the other way.
Yeah, when you're
I have
running
a lot of people
office,
in crowds who tell me I'm number one on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a sign of, it, being hated is not that bad.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's not that good. Bad.
It depends on how the votes are coming in.
That's a good point. Being hated and elected probably is the best of the two.
There is a lot. They do go hand in hand. That's be true.
All right. I wanted to run this by you, Mike, because I just find this to be fascinating. This is not really hardcore politics. It's just more of like current events kind of combined with expectations, right? So Representative Mike Kelly from Pennsylvania said this sentence yesterday, which I find to be, I don't know. It's a bit odd. Keep in mind that Representative Mike Kelly is one of the wealthiest members of Congress.
Well, would you expect it to be odd when his name is Mike Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the,
right away.
It's different Mike Kelly, not our Mike Kelly. Although oddly wealthy too.
That's true. This is
but this representative from Pennsylvania, Mike Kelly, is, I think his net worth is $12-13 million
in Congress. Really? How
and
unusual.
And he's a representative. Yes, he's in Congress. And he said, who's going to finally talk about the real problems and quit talking about the stock market? And I find that to be an odd way to frame that, right? I mean, like, the stock market is very real to everybody with a retirement account.
It is.
To everybody with investments, even if they're not in a retirement account. It is a very real thing. And I'm sure there are other real things, too. But I don't like the way that that's positioned. I don't like that this is not a real issue. That's a real issue, right?
I can appreciate where he's coming from a standpoint of, you know, the market is going to move back and forth. I mean, we were just talking about, because they were talking about how much the market is down today.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was, what, 2,800 points or something like that up.
And good today, day to buy.
Yeah, evidently it was. Everything was on sale. It's going like hotcakes. But today, the hotcake got returned, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
We bought all this stuff for Christmas. It didn't fit, so we took it back today. I understand where he's coming from that standpoint, and addressing the factors that are moving the markets this month, this much. If that's what he means, I understand that part. But you're right. Especially if you're a retiree living on your retirement accounts right now, those big changes are going to affect how you're going to survive in the coming months for a lot of people. So you're both right. The stock market like that moving is going to have a real effect on people's lives. But there is a real reason why these things are moving.
Sure.
And if we address those, that I think you stop all this volatility.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of whether or not there are other things that are as important.
Yeah.
Right? That's not the question. It's just an interesting framing when you're a person that is isolated from feeling those things.
Right.
Versus everybody else who is on a retirement, because the vast majority of people who will feel it are people that worked their entire lives, that put that money aside, and obviously that's what they're going to live off of once they end up retiring.
Right.
They're not going to retire like he will with tens of millions of dollars at his disposal. And I think that that type of messaging is part of, I don't care who you are. I guess he's a Republican. I don't really, I didn't even look. I just saw the quote and it bothered me.
Well, I think to your point, it's sort of a tone deaf message.
Right. Right.
Like, understand where people are right now, and anybody can say something stupid. And my wife will attest to the fact that her husband says stupid stuff all the time. But that's one of those kind of things where once you say it, I bet you want to pull that back and go, I could have reframed that better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand more about what did you mean by that? I'd like to know a little bit more of where was what was the true meaning behind that sentence and where were you going with that? Because the way that you just kicked it out there, to your point, really makes you seem disconnected from the average person who is looking at those retirement accounts and freaking out right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not retired, but I didn't want to open up my 401k and look at it for the past couple of weeks. I don't want to see that. But experience teaches us that the market generally is going to go up and down, but it's going to continually grow. I mean, I think over the lifetime of the stock market, all of our financial advisors will tell us that
it
generally gives you an 8 to 9% return, 7 to 9% return over the lifespan, right? I think that's per year, something like that, right? So, okay, that if you continue to grow that way, that'd be good. But when your 401k changes drastically, there's
don't
some heart
tell
palpitations
people not to worry
happen.
About that. I mean, again, perfectly fine to provide other context. Right. Like, hey, it's hopefully temporary. Right. Hopefully it's not going to be like that for a long period of time.
It's transitory. Right.
Right.
You remember
that
sentence?
Idea.
No,
right.
It's all
because
transitory.
It was bad. It was bad during COVID. It was bad during 2020 and it recovered and everything got back going. So it's not like it can't. It's just when you're in the middle of it.
It is
probably best to acknowledge that a lot of people are because there's another side. There's another argument being made. I don't know if you guys saw it, Rach or Andrew, but there was the argument being made too, like, only rich people have 401ks. I'm like, no. Like everybody in the UAW has a 401k and a retirement fund. I mean, like, you know, in our union, SAG-AFTRA, we all have pension funds that are being run through all of that. I don't, that idea is very weird. Now, maybe it's a view, maybe that was a Gen Z view where when you're young, you don't have a 401k typically. I didn't have it probably till I was in my late 30s.
You don't think about it.
Right. You're not, it's not on your radar. So to you, stock market, schmock market, doesn't matter. And which is totally, I get that.
Yeah, those are old wealthy people who worry about that stuff. I don't have enough money to worry about it.
Right, and that's, again, a valid concern at that point. If you're, you know, if you're in your 20s, early 30s, whatever you would be in Gen Z, and you're trying to get to a job where you can afford a house.
Yeah, it was that old
you're not
Alabama
worried about 401k, right.
Talking about the stock market fell, but we were so poor we couldn't tell. we didn't have any money anyway to invest in that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like when you were talking about earlier that, you know, Bill Gates is only going to leave his kids 1%.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to affect their retirement. Oh, that billion just became $750 million. How are you going to survive?
He's
going to
make them suffer.
Yeah. He and Warren Buffett's
children. He's going to make them suffer. They're only going to get $1 billion to start.
Well, they're going to learn how to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he'll give them some bootstraps, too.
Pull up by their Prada Versace's.
They probably have an AI assistant robot that's just going to boost them.
It will push them along the way.
So I know Mike, St. Charles County guy.
I am.
Going to be running for office there.
Running for county executive.
Just your thought on what changed in the city. I mean, we just had an election, and it was a pretty big defeat for the current mayor and a pretty big win for Kara Spencer.
You know, for Kara, I think it's huge. The thing that I don't see enough people recognizing, I think, though, is the Donna Behringer winning comptroller.
Yeah, that was a big change, too. Was
That's
it 30
huge.
Years?
Yeah, I mean, Darlene Green's been there for literally 30 years. And when you look at three ladies who are, you know, the triad now, who are going to be running everything, those three positions where Megan Green with president of the Board of Aldermen, Kara being the new mayor, Donna coming in as comptroller, that's really going to be the big news. You know, if Kara would have won and Darlene Green would have won, there's an argument to be made that quite a bit may not have changed.
Okay.
Because if Megan and Darlene agreed to keep things as they are, those three are going to be the ones who make most of the financial decisions for the city. And they could have overruled her in many cases. Now, if Kara and Donna get on the same page, which I believe they will, then you have the possibility. And I think a lot of us are very optimistic right now going in, right? You have a very good possibility that things in the city are going to change drastically. And I don't think we should expect them to not change pretty drastically in the next few months. I think they can start doing that right away. I'm curious to see how much is Megan Green going to fight them? Or is Megan Green going to get on board? You saw when they were trying to do, hey, what are we going to do with the Rams settlement money? And they had an agreement done. They agreed on what they were going to do. And the downtown business folks were going to kick in a 2-for-1, right? So if you put in $100 million, we'll match you with $100 million. And then they were all ready to go. And I think they agreed on $75 million for the downtown Merchants Association. They were going to kick in, and the downtown business owners were going to match that $75 million. And then all of a sudden, Megan Green decides, nope, we're changing that, and we're going to do my plan, and it's only going to be $40 million that we're going to do in downtown. And it all fell apart. So now I'm curious to see, hey, is she going to come back? Because she did not have the support of the rest of the Board of Aldermen. So it's going to be interesting to see how is that dynamic going to play out with the three of them? Are they going to play together? Is Megan going to continue to fight and say, no, I'm the most progressive one here and I want to wave that banner? Or are they all going to say, let's do what's best for the city and do what's best for the region? I will tell you, as we sit here today, 17 minutes after the hour, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't know success is coming. Right. We don't know it's going to be great. We don't know it's going to be better. But we know what was going on.
Right.
Wasn't working.
Exactly.
And that's where the hope comes from, is yes. that there's a recognition of that and that there will be at least an effort to fix the problems that exist. And then from there, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's a set of things that need to get done, and those things haven't been getting done. So we'll see. Again, it's always, to me, these things are always fascinating because, you know, being a sports guy, we always think the new guy's going to fix everything. A new manager is going to fix it, right? Maybe. Well, maybe.
It's working for the Blues.
But it's also, right, it can.
It can.
But it's also only going to, you can only go by the information at the time when you're making a decision, right? So using the Blues, you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
It wasn't working.
It wasn't.
What was happening before, regardless of whether you liked the methods, didn't like the methods, whatever, it was not working, and I think there's a pretty good comparison to the city is not functioning the way that it should be.
Right.
Which is why this change happened.
Yes.
Because really barring the big buff, you know, big, dropping of the ball on the snow stuff and the implication, we might not have had a big change.
True.
But it's perfectly symbolic of the things that aren't getting done that are the basics.
It was really the straw that broke the camel's back, I think.
Right, right. It may have changed anyway other than that, but it certainly was kind of a last minute, well, here's a smack in the head.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is waking everybody up, going, this isn't getting any better.
And I think for the region, there are an awful lot of people who are wanting to come to help. People in St. Louis County, people in St. Charles County, people in Jefferson County, Franklin County. I mean, they want to get involved. I mean, today, Steve Ellman was actually standing out in the newsroom right now, who's the county executive for St. Charles. I'm hoping to take his job next year because he's retiring.
He's stepping away. You're not right? Fighting him.
No, he's my mentor.
He's your buddy.
So I definitely would not run against him. Right? He would be that guy. But you have a lot of folks who are, they had the big announcement today of the Regional Law Enforcement Academy, $50 million that they're going to put into a police training center that all four of the county executives or presiding commissioners from Jefferson, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and Franklin County all getting together to work together to help train our police departments, all to try to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep our citizens safe. So you're seeing from a regional perspective, people wanting to get involved, wanting to help, because as people point out on a regular basis, and Mike Kehoe has talked about it since before he was governor, how St. Louis goes, so goes the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
It really is a driving force. And I think a lot of people are just cautiously optimistic, a hope of heart right now that things are going to go in the right direction. I don't know if the state takeover of the city police force is going to make any difference. I hope it does. And I think everybody should hope it does. People point out, well, it hasn't made that much difference in Kansas City. You know what? That's Kansas City.
Got to try, yeah.
Yeah, let's try something different over here.
Mike, thanks for popping in, man.
I appreciate the time, guys.
All right, DJS on a Thursday. Dave back tomorrow. It's been going fast today. We were just talking about that during the break.
It's been a nice, fun show.
But you know, you guys probably think I'm an ass kisser, but I think every show goes fast.
I don't think you're an ass kisser because of that.
I do, but I do agree with you.
It's just like every day I look up and it's like 4:20. I'm like, what the heck?
It's a pretty fun show.
Yeah. Whenever you say that, I always remember like, we don't know any, Rachel and I don't really know anything different than this, what we do. But you spent like a significant amount of your career at like 1 a.m. by yourself.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, sports radio, which I mean, I know you really enjoy, but I imagine those shows went by a little slower.
Not usually.
Hanging out and goofing around.
Most of them were fast like this, but not all of them.
Yeah.
In the old days, like doing the overnight on Sporting News Radio, those shows were fast because you had nonstop calls, and a lot of the calls were like regulars, so they became cast members. like Stanley in Sacramento was basically, he was our Apollo Creed. He was like the biggest trash talker in the world, and he was hilarious. And I still remember all the names of those callers. That's how big of a deal they were as far as characters on the show. But I will tell you, I've done some overnights on Sirius XM. Woo! Those take a while. Those you feel those sometimes.